On Friday and Saturday of this week, our diocesan family gathered at wonderful, wonderful Camp McDowell for the 185th convention of the Diocese of Alabama. This was the first time in all these many years that our diocesan convention was held at Camp McDowell. And several folks, myself included, were concerned about how the logistics of the convention would flow, given the newness of the space and the fact that the buildings are much more spread apart than they are at a convention center. But the Holy Spirit is alive and well in Alabama and is working through a lot of gifted people. So the convention went very, very well. The theme of this year's convention was belovedness, drawing on the passage from the first chapter of Mark, which describes the baptism of Jesus, a story that's common to all four Gospels, but told in slightly different ways in each. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus arrives on the banks of the Jordan River, along with throngs of other good Jews, wanting to be baptized to indicate their desire to amend their lives. No sooner is he dunked by his wild prophet cousin John and lifted up out of the murky waters of the Jordan, the heavens are torn apart, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, and a voice comes from the now open heaven, and the voice proclaims, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And today, we've heard very similar words in the story known as the Transfiguration, as told in the Gospel of Luke. "This is my Son, my chosen, listen to him." But there's a backstory to this proclamation, a very long backstory that we need to pay attention to. Part of the backstory is found in our reading from Exodus today. Our ancestral father, Moses, has a close and personal relationship with God, one that is unlike any other. God has called Moses on several occasions to come to the top of Mount Sinai to have a conversation. Moses, the one who originally turned God down on his request that Moses lead his people to freedom, is now tromping up to the top of Mount Sinai and having conversations with God. We imagine, and as Scripture records it, God did most of the talking, and that's the way it should be. The folks who stayed at the bottom of the mountain saw a change in Moses each time he went to the top of Mount Sinai. He looked different. He seemed very, very different when he trudged back to the bottom of the mountain. The people didn't really like the glowy after effect Moses had after talking to God. His face was radiating, beaming, and not in that fake, smiley, used car salesman sort of beam, but a real, down to the bone marrow glow that radiates outward in a way that is unmistakable. To calm the people and reassure them that all was well, Moses put on a veil after he talked to God. He didn't stop talking to God, and he didn't stop talking to the people. He just tried to find a middle ground. And in doing so, he put a barrier between the people and God. And that barrier would have long-reaching effects. After a few generations, the people became more and more separated from God, convinced that having a personal relationship and a personal experience with God, one like Moses had so comfortably and so often, would cause their death. The fear that was first felt by the radiating glow on the face of Moses grew into all sorts of rules and regulations about how one approaches the Almighty, which ultimately became not at all. There was a temple with large curtains that hung from the ceiling to the floor, which separated the space of God from the space of the people. The space of God was called the Holy of Holies and could only be entered once a year by a priest. Later, that priest became known as the high priest, and the labyrinth of rules and regulations got more complicated from there. Ritual upon ritual was added, rule upon rule. God was separated more and more from the people that God created and that God was in such close relationship with early on in God's plan. In such a close relationship that God walked with them in the cool of the evening and conversed with them on the top of Mount Sinai. The people had been separated from a close relationship with God for a very long time. They had forgotten time and again that God had chosen them and called them and loved them and wanted and yearned to have an up-close and personal relationship with them. They'd pretty much forgotten the glow of Moses, but they knew that God was far from them, removed, hidden, kept safe in the Holy of Holies. And only special and important, the most special and important people had direct access to God. So once again, God reached out to his creation, this time in a very up-close and personal way. God stepped into his world, literally, as a creature, creator now created in the person of Jesus. And again, we have a hike up a mountain. Jesus says to his close friends, Peter, James, and John, let's go on a hike. And interested to see where this is going, they follow. On the top of the mountain, surreal events take place. Events that include the appearance of the ancestral representatives of all that has gone before. Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophets. Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And Jesus shines. He glows. He reflects the glory of God just as Moses had done so many generations before. And the heavens open and a voice says, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." Important to pay attention to here is that the separation that had been made with the veil of Moses, now turned to curtain in the temple, is beginning to break open. The voice that had not spoken or had not been heard or had been kept silent was once again breaking in. The barrier that had been built by those who would keep God safe in the Holy of Holies is now being chiseled down, and God comes through, interacts with his world, and says, "This is my son, the chosen, listen to him!" Exclamation point. Tom Brackett, the keynote speaker at the Diocesan Convention, asked us to think about how we could talk about our own stories of our own belovedness. Chosenness, words often translated the same. Can we take on that belovedness story as our own? Or do we build up barriers that separate us from an up-close and personal relationship with a life-changing God? So often we hear these ancient stories as stories about long-ago people far, far away, and never allow ourselves to imagine that these stories are still happening in our world today, in our lives. But they are. God has not stopped God's engagement with the world. God has not stopped reaching out to his creation, to his beloved people. It is my deep hope that each of us know that we too are the chosen one of God. That we too recognize our belovedness, or at least can begin to imagine that reality. It is my deep hope that we can share that belovedness with those who come into our midst, and then we'll take that belovedness and share it with the world far and wide. Amen.